Welcome to Here I Am, Lord, a weekly faith-filled program about learning to say yes to Jesus in the ordinary moments of everyday life. Join Marta Kyle as she invites you to grow in faith, recognize God's voice in daily life, and discover simple ways to follow Christ more faithfully each day.
Well, welcome, welcome.
Hello, hello.
It's Marta Kyle.
And Tara Wolfington.
And you are tuned in to Here I Am, Lord. We have a fabulous show planned for you today. We're very excited.
We are.
Mm-hmm. It's been a great day. It looks like it's going to rain out there.
Again.
But it was pretty sunny. It was a nice day.
It's great.
Lovely. I hope everyone had a golden day. We had a golden day.
We did have a golden day. We're still having a golden
day. We are still having a golden day. It's going to be a beautiful show. A golden day in our world is when everything goes, it seems like everything the way God would have it go, right?
Yep. Smoothly.
Smoothly.
Things happen that you can't believe happened, and it's a golden day.
So it's a golden day. Welcome to the golden day.
The golden day.
And we're almost at the end of May, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, we are at the end of May, not almost. We're pretty much here.
Right.
So June will be upon us before we blink. I'm sure everyone has their graduations coming up. If it's not college graduation's all done, but high school and
middle school,
grade schools, middle schools, right?
Yep. Preschools were last week.
Yeah, I know we have a graduation party right after this show. We have three high school graduates. It's very exciting. And we'll jump right into the show. So we're going to open with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day
our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. Amen.
That's a good prayer for
today. That's a great prayer for today. That's why we picked it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
Today, we have a lovely show for you. As you know, we're doing our little Ten Commandments series. And today is the sixth commandment on the ripple effect of adultery.
Yes.
So we know that word adultery can make people uncomfortable. We know it's a subject that's difficult to talk about. But if we don't talk about it honestly, the culture will define it, you know, ends up defining it for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take a honest look. And we were actually on Facebook, we saw a post from Cardinal Sarah. I don't know if you saw that. And he asked some interesting questions. And I was like, oh, this is fun. And he asks, who defines the truth for us? Do we let the culture define the truth for us? Because today's culture would not define, it seems like they don't even.
Right is wrong and wrong is right.
Yeah, they don't even look at adultery. Do our feelings define our truth for us? Does the government define truth for us? Or does God define the truth for us? And obviously we as Catholics, we're going to look to God.
Right.
And he will define it for us.
Yes.
And as we stated, the culture has really gotten this very wrong. So we're going to talk about what God has to say about marriage and fidelity.
And what adultery does to marriage.
And how it affects, the ripple effects. It affects your spouses, your children, your parents, your friends. The whole community feels the tremor of.
Yeah. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Pebble in the pond.
Yes. So it's not a fun subject because it's a subject that involves a lot of wounds. But
almost everyone has some wound from this subject. Whether it's your friend or your family or your kids or your grandkids or.
Yep.
Today, a lot of people are affected by it.
Yeah. And that's what they say. Adultery is never really even a private sin. It always becomes the pebble in the pond and it reaches everyone and it becomes a public.
Public, yeah.
Whether you want to admit it or not, it's a public.
It's one of those sins where it tries to be hidden, but it always finds way to the light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when it comes to the light, that's the tipping point. Where does it go?
Yeah.
So we're also going to talk about the fact that God is a God of restoration.
Mm-hmm.
And in Joel 2:25, it says, I will restore you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten.
Mm-hmm.
God specializes in restoring what sin has destroyed. So they're saying adultery is like locusts coming in and they just devastate.
It devastates.
Everything in the crop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the Lord can restore what was destroyed.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, right?
So we'll go through.
Yeah. Yep. So what God actually said, so the commandment itself, you shall not commit adultery. That's pretty direct, right?
Yes,
it's a non-negotiable. But why is it non-negotiable? Why would God? A lot of people leave the Catholic Church because they think that there's too many rules and it's too hard to follow. But really, God gives us these to protect us and to give us freedom. And we've talked about that with the other commandments as well.
Right.
It's not meant.
See how they build on each other.
Yeah. It's not meant to confine. It's not meant to restrict. It's not meant to, you know, hit you over the head with a 2x4 and say.
It's directions for a happy life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It is.
Don't do these things and you'll lead a happy life.
And you'll be happy.
And you'll come back to heaven with me.
Yeah.
In the light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So God knows the foundation and he knows that marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
It's a big difference. Yeah. So
the covenant.
Yeah, go ahead.
Defined is a solemn binding agreement or a promise between God and humanity that establishes a relationship.
Yeah.
So a covenant has God in it, right? Mm-hmm. The relationship is established with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And then they always say to have a strong marriage and a fail-proof marriage, the triple cord, you need the couple and God.
Right.
You can't have a strong marriage without God.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So?
And that changes everything. The fact that it's a covenant, because I think society treats it like it's a contract.
They do.
Yeah.
And a contract is just something that's broken.
It's two parties. Two parties. Benefit.
Something, just one piece of it goes. It's a contract. It's, you know, you just call it over. But it doesn't have that God element in it.
Exactly.
Right.
And then it's more legalistic, right? A contract. So your taxes or your shared properties or your, but really.
No love.
There's no love. And then when adultery happens, I mean, it's a real severing. It hurts your heart. It hurts your soul. It hurts
everything.
Everything. It hurts your family, your children.
Yeah.
Like we said in the beginning. Yeah. We hear in Genesis, a man shall leave his father and mother to hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Right?
And so in that statement alone, they're saying that the Lord is speaking of consummating a marriage. When you're married, you consummate the marriage, that's two becoming one flesh. So it's not something that is supposed to happen before you're married.
Right.
It's not anything that's supposed to happen outside your marriage. It's in the covenant of marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. And a lot of people go through pre-Cana today, but I wonder if they really even, if the youth or even my generation had a real understanding of the fact that it was a covenant, not a contract.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the contract isn't body, mind, and soul.
Right.
And a covenant of marriage is you're one in body, mind, and soul. And the other person, you're supposed to treat them as you would treat yourself, right? And always have their interest.
Yep. She is your companion and your wife by covenant. That's what we hear in Malachi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jesus always takes every commandment a little bit deeper, like we were just saying. So it's not just a flat commandment. He takes it to the heart, right?
Right.
And he always...
It comes out of the law and comes into the heart.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When Jesus takes over.
Yes.
Right.
As he always does. And he leads us to go deeper. And he lets us know that it's not enough to just avoid the physical act of adultery, right?
Mm-hmm.
He lets us know that even our very thoughts our eyes. If we look at a woman with lust, we're committing adultery.
Right.
And as we all know that in today's society, I mean, things that are acceptable today in ads, in commercials, in TV shows, in general,
are offensive.
They're offensive.
Yeah.
And in
days, and they're not keeping people in the straight and narrow.
No. And everything is...
it's not the Andy Griffith show.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's not the Andy Griffith show.
Okie's not out there, you know, learning a morality lesson.
Exactly. I was saying to Tara, one of my favorite shows was Friends. I loved the show Friends. And I wasn't really thinking too deeply about it, but I would turn it on. And I thought it was funny. And I liked Jennifer Aniston. And I liked Courtney Cox. And I liked the...
And they had jokes.
You know, Matthew Perry. And they had jokes. And yeah. It was fun. And,
They were young.
They were young. And it just was like a fun, entertaining, easy, mindless show to watch. But when you actually watch the content in that show and think and apply it to the series that we've done so far this summer, it's like they glorify breaking all the commandments.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They make it seem fun and cool and hip and normal.
They make it seem fun and cool and hip and normal. That's like culture. This is what everybody goes through.
What you said. Who's defining it?
Yes.
That's culture defining what your sexual life should look like.
Exactly.
When
exactly.
Really, it's Jesus is comparing marriage to his love of his bride, his church.
His church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he wants that to be pure.
Level, and it's deep and it's meaningful. Yeah.
Right.
But
it's
everybody
your mind,
else,
your body, and your soul.
Yeah. Everybody else, it's almost like they make a mockery of it, to be honest with you. I mean, Ross on the show Friends gets divorced like the minute he gets married four times over. You know?
Right.
Every time it's like it becomes a joke.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about other reality TV shows like Desperate Housewives or The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Right now, I actually thought this was appalling. They came out with something called The Golden Bachelor or The Golden Bachelorette.
Right.
And it features elder, like old people.
Excuse me. I think they're kind of about my age.
Well, they look old. They purposely make them look old. No, I think they're a little older than you.
Maybe.
But I mean, think about that. The context of the show, it's one person and they're like fishing
through
and dating and they're just discarding people.
They start with like 25 people.
Yeah. And it's such a disgrace. And if it's a disgrace on so many levels. They just throw people out.
If it happened in the real world, people would have names for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't be nice. Whoever it was, the boy or the girl, whoever, bachelor or bachelorette.
Bachelor
or bachelorette. Wouldn't have nice names in the old days for that person that went out and dated 25 people.
No, it's crazy. And then they glorify it on the TV. And then you find yourself getting sucked into it. You're like, oh my gosh, who's he going to eliminate this week, right?
And then they get engaged.
And then they get engaged, and then it never works.
I think one couple in the it's been on a long time.
It's been on a long time because it's popular, because people watch it.
I can't believe how many years it's been on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show you culture and society and the way that it's been going the last 20, 30 years, maybe longer.
Right.
It's really
gotten away from
covenant.
We talked about it on the Divine Mercy show.
Yeah.
How the crown of thorns, one of the thorns went through Jesus' eye.
Yeah.
For the sins of the eye, which are especially prominent today.
Mm-hmm.
With the screens and the television and shows like this and music.
Music is a big
one. How about pop music?
Mm-hmm.
I hear some of the lyrics and
oh my goodness. Some of the lyrics are so bad that if I hear them, I'll actually isolate one of the lyrics. And I've had conversations with my children. I'm like, now what's entertaining about this to you? Are you listening to these words? And I'll repeat back some of the phrases. And they do feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
If they're in the car or something. And I'm like, well, if you feel embarrassed, there's a reason for that. There's something, you know, that there's something
right.
Wrong. There's
right.
Something.
And the culture is just
wrong.
Trying to have them sing it so it gets into their mind.
That's what, yeah.
Which gets into their heart, which gets into their behavior, right?
Yeah.
Because they talk about it. It takes root in the mind.
Mm-hmm. But it's an absolute disgrace, some of these songs. Even if it's... being disrespectful towards the police or being disrespectful towards women or being disrespectful. I mean, that's a little bit, but it's...
not really, because the little things chip away at your feeling of respect, which is going to inevitably come down to...
Respect for authority, respect for rules, respect for societal rules. It's really kind
if
of
if you can't respect that, how are you going to respect a spouse?
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So these things take root.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a protection. This rule is a protection of your love, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just saying keep your love light burning.
Yes.
In the home.
Yeah.
With the spouse
where
of your
it's
youth.
Meant to.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who's your gift?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And so all these different ways lead people to sort of chisel away at their conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And like we said, TV shows, the internet, pornography.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a slippery slope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we even talked about the sin of adultery not only affects your spouse, but it's also a sin against your own body.
Yes.
You're sinning. And the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that's something that nobody takes into consideration. It's just damaging.
Well, both people suffer.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone thinks it's the cheater, if
yeah.
you will.
Yep.
Who it's the one who's cheated on that really suffers. But I think the cheater really suffers, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then naturally, there's always consequences that lead to, you know, you're hiding, you're lying, you might get pregnant if you're a woman. You know, it just the talk about the pebble in the pond.
Then you go back to last week, and then it's murder,
and then it's murder. Yeah, I mean,
right?
So it's there's
we
so
talked
many
about David.
Yeah, so God is protecting us if we get back to the commandments and get back to obeying the commandments and living lives that are in congruency with the commandments. It protects you from so many other overarching
right and they
issues.
Overlap once one
yes once you
broken,
fall in one yeah then boom boom
so
boom it's like dominoes
to, yeah
because you can't have an adultery and be honest or you can't have, right
right and then
you're lying
a
to somebody.
Pregnancy happens and look at even King David in the Bible
mm-hmm.
and then he kills
and then he has to kill Uriah mm-hmm.
yeah so it's yeah. One sort of like you said a domino effect right
yeah and then their first child that's born God takes that child away from them in punishment. I mean, it is a domino effect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we know
it really
that,
does hurt everyone.
It
right?
hurts everybody.
And it's one of the deepest wounds that a person can receive.
Yeah, it's a real betrayal is what it is.
Because it's your whole mind, body, soul that you're giving in your marriage. And you build your whole life around it. You get married, you have kids.
Yep.
You know, it's we were talking about there's a 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
And so when someone's unhappy in the marriage, are they looking at the 20% that's mm-hmm. not there and not the 80% blessing?
Right.
Because no one's going to have 100% happy. You have daily life. You have chores. You have just the things that happen.
Responsibilities, financial responsibilities.
Finances, everything that happens in a day that can cause angst, mm-hmm. right? And then they see someone where they're going to get that 20% pretty, happy, no money worries, just giggly. And it's just not reality.
Everything's feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all based on sensuality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which goes back to the original question. Are feelings driving your sense of truth? Right? Is it the culture? Is it your feelings?
Is it
your
the eye?
Government? Is it your
Which
eye?
Which sense?
Yeah. Which sense are we listening to?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is hard.
It's hard. It's a lie told with your body.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. It lacks sense. It wounds. It dishonors. And we see in the Bible, in Proverbs, he who commits adultery lacks sense, wounds and dishonor he will get, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. So the only reason we point that out is because the Lord is quite serious about this commandment.
He is.
I mean, obviously, he wouldn't have given them to Moses if he wasn't serious about the commandments, but he knew.
That's a stern. That's a stern.
It's a stern commandment.
Well, and the disgrace is not just on, and the dishonor is not just on the one who strayed. It's also on the one who's betrayed.
You know,
because the one who's betrayed carries a shame
mm-hmm.
that your spouse
would not
stay, committed.
Yeah. And they call this culture a throwaway culture. And it's not just with material goods. I mean, it's a throwaway culture across the board.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a big play of Satan right now is to destroy the family.
Yeah.
They say television and the screen time is all a number one tool and all this pornography. And I mean, there are things that if you don't take your thoughts captive, if you don't watch, if you're not in your marriage holding the hand of your spouse and walking through each day with the Lord and saying, I don't want to see, I'm staying focused. You have to be consciously.
Yeah. And it's a challenge in today's society because there are, to your point, so many points of temptation, be it TV, be it music, be it the workplace, but even people that travel, that are on the road 7 days a week, that's a large commitment. They have to be truly committed to their wife, their spouse, their family, right?
Because there's people out there who aren't.
Yeah.
Who are just seeking, you know, the pleasure.
I mean, another little rabbit hole that we went down to was today trying to redefine marriage. Marriage is between one man and one woman. We see that in the Bible.
Right.
I made them male and female. And marriage is between one man and one woman. And when society or the government even redefines the lines of marriage.
You go back to. The question we started with. Who's defining culture?
Yeah.
And the government. And you just have to stand by God and stand by the commandments and stand by his teachings, right?
Absolutely. So we also talked about the psychological side. There's spiritual damage that happens, but there's a lot of psychological damage. In Psalm 55, we see it's not an enemy who taunts me, but it is you, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. That's very true, right? Anyone, this subject touches deeply to the core for a lot of people, and I think they would agree with that. It's just something that hits your heart so deeply, and you want to know why, right? Why did this happen to me, or why did they go outside the marriage, or what did this other person have to offer that I didn't, you know, I gave you my heart and my soul, my time, my talent, my treasure. I poured my whole life into you. I gave you children.
I do the 80%.
Yeah.
And you're looking for the
20%. And you're looking for the 20%.
And the 20% pulled you away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's devastating. It's a really devastating. We learned that when you have this kind of betrayal, it's so deep that it has the same effects on you as like a PTSD.
Yeah.
It's a very damaging.
Well, it affects your trust of other people, which might affect your trust of God and his plan. You know,
yeah.
It's difficult. It affects in your self-worth, right?
Yeah. And then your family feels shame. Your children, it affects like the pebbles of the pond. They go, it reaches children especially, right? They carry loyalty, conflict, shame, insecurity, trust issues. They sometimes can blame themselves, right?
Yeah, the younger children.
Maybe if I was better, my parents wouldn't be getting a divorce.
Yeah, it's really crime.
Teenagers can become angry or withdrawn, self-destructive. It's a heavy topic, and it really runs deep.
Right.
And then even socially in society, right? What happens with friends, family, community?
And kids are a gift from the Lord, right? The fruit of the womb.
Yeah.
And it just it hurts the kids so much.
And children, that saying that children live what they learn, it's kind of true. It's not impossible to not have that be true. But a lot of times something deep, that message runs real deep. And it might not come out until they're in their own adult lives or they're in their own relationships.
Right.
But at some point, short of being I have a friend who is a beautiful mother. She went through a divorce and there was a lot of adultery and betrayal and stuff on the side of the husband. But anyway, this woman committed herself to her children 110% during that whole process. And everyone from psychologists to school teachers to everyone said, you're unbelievable because most children that experience this aren't as strong and as grounded and as rooted as your children are. But that's because she stuck to the way the Lord. So she had the effects of all this, right? So she ended up divorcing and whatnot. But the way it affected the children, because she was so staunch and close to God, and she raised them in the faith, and her children turned out really beautifully, and it's such a good testament.
Well, they learned trust through her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everyone's always commenting to her, but she made a firm resolution that she took marriage to be a covenant. She didn't take it to be a contract.
Right.
And that she was fully committed to her family first. And then the kids felt the effect of that because she didn't go out and get a boyfriend. She didn't. That's the other thing.
Yeah, that's the other thing that hurts them.
Yeah.
Because they still want both their parents.
They still want both their parents,
and
yeah.
And a lot of times it pits the grandparents, and, you know, they can't see certain people because...
Yeah.
That was daddy's friend, that was mommy's friend, that was the ripple just reaches, you know,
yeah.
People at church, people everywhere.
Yeah. And a lot of women, I think, don't know how to handle the betrayal, so what they do is they go out and they want to seek love in all the wrong places, right?
Right.
So they want to... get a boyfriend, or they want to jump in. I know for a little while it was trendy for all the divorcees to rent a house at the shore together. And all these women would go in like they were in college again. And they would be renting a house and going out to the bars.
And it was Desperate Housewives.
And it was Desperate Housewives, exactly.
And that's where the show comes from.
Yeah. I mean, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
So people
I mean, when you're not in it, it just seems that insane, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
So as a general rule... It's you know, important to stay close to the gospel truth.
Right.
And stay close to the way God leads us to live our lives.
I mean, the other half of it is it's not just the divorce, that mom and dad divorced. It's a lot of times they're still lying. You know, that I don't know if you ever heard the battle cry of the cheaters, deny, deny, deny.
Right.
And sometimes everybody knows. I mean, it's so...
Yes.
Things are left behind. Somebody leaves something in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Kids find it and they say, who's this belong to? And they're not. I mean, if they're teenagers or a little older, they're not.
Yeah, kids are sharp.
They're not.
They notice
blind.
More than you realize.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they know. And they. And sometimes the denial goes on and on and on and on, even after a divorce. And they, one partner just lies and the kids, they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's painful. So, like, the rigorous honesty, there's no way to heal from this without rigorous honesty
mm-hmm.
and bringing it all to the light.
Bringing it to the light. That's huge.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Even between the partners, part of the healing is coming back to God, going to confession, but bringing it to light. Yes.
This happened.
This happened. Yes. This is how it happened. Mm-hmm. Yes. I was wrong. Yes, I'm going to confession. Yes, I'm going to recommit to you and the family. And that's the beginning of
a long
possibly
mm-hmm.
saving.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. And it is possible if both parties are willing to go through the pain.
And put God back in. Mm-hmm.
And make the necessary changes, then the good news is it is possible. And God is a God of restoration, like you said in the beginning. And he does want to heal our hearts
right.
and comfort our souls. And he came for the sick, not the healthy, right?
Right.
That's the good news.
Yeah. And so if the parents become healthy together, then the kids can become healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a snare.
It is not an easy topic, and the tentacles really do reach deep into all the areas of life.
Right. Because the kids understand, some of them, that they're dealing with something they didn't cause.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but they don't know how to deal with these feelings, and they don't want their family torn apart.
Well, and it can be embarrassing, depending on the situation. Sometimes you know it might be somebody they know.
Right.
It might be with one of their friends, other
right,
parents
usually.
Or
right.
something, you know.
Like the, yeah.
I know a lot of situations where mm-hmm. the couples were best friends. And the male best of the male
yeah,
couple.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
So imagine the children. That's humiliating if they go away on vacations together or they do this, you know.
Right.
That's a hard pill to swallow for a kid.
Right.
And also we talked about for the parents of the person who went outside the marriage, they think, what did I do wrong? I raised this child in the faith. I didn't raise them to grow up and get married and act like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want to blame themselves, but hey. Humanity.
They
happens,
feel guilt
right?
and
they
shame
guilt
and unhappiness.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and then the parent of the one who was betrayed feels the pain of their child.
Feels the, yeah.
Why did my child have to deal with this? Why do my grandkids have to deal with that? I mean,
yeah.
You know, as a grandparent, it's not like you become a grandparent, so your feelings just shrivel up and get tucked away in some box somewhere.
Yeah, no, they probably actually run deeper.
So. Yeah. Because, I mean, I just know for me, my grandkids are my heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that my kids weren't, but
sure,
there's a different relationship there with the grandkids, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I love those little girls.
Yes. So this is a very special topic. It's a hard topic, but we are going to take a break, and we will be back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Faithful marriages are the...
Well, welcome back. I am Marta Kyle.
I'm Tara Wolfington.
And you are listening to Here I Am, Lord. And we're doing a little 10-part series on the Ten Commandments. And today's commandment is Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery, which is a tough topic to cover. We talked about adultery, the fact that it's not a private act between two consenting adults. It's like a social earthquake. It affects everybody. Tremors are felt in every home, the pew, the school, the workplace, anyone that's connected to that marriage. It causes great scandal, and it's something that's difficult to recover from, but not impossible, right?
Not impossible, yeah.
We have a God who was very faithful, and...
We talked about who defines... does the culture define
the culture
your beliefs? Does God define your beliefs?
Mm-hmm.
Who defines your beliefs?
Right.
Does the TV show define your beliefs?
Well,
and adultery has been normalized.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just through even they say if you have relations before you're married, you're actually cheating on your husband in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And nobody would. I don't know that anybody
thinks about that.
Thinks
today.
About that, or would even buy into that. They'd be like, "Oh, that's old school information."
Right. And then we talked about how
nobody
the commandments
waits anymore.
Leap. So then,
yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Fornication. Then the child's born, and then aborted, and then it's like dominoes once
it's
you
a
start
domino
breaking.
Effect. And then you lie. You have to cover up your lies. You're. I mean, it's
right.
It's really
lie,
a disaster.
Cheat, steal. Steal someone's heart, steal someone's peace, steal
Yeah.
Steal the life of the person that you're committed to, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it just fractures the family. And if the family is fractured, then society is fractured. And that, I think that's really the whole plan of evil today.
Yeah.
Is the breakdown of the family, which breaks down society, which allows all this hate and anger and violence and insanity that ensues all around us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Even as a parent of young children, it's hard to instill all the values of the Catholic faith because you can teach them, you can raise them up in the way that they're supposed to go. But once they go off to college or once they go off, it's really hard to keep them on the straight and narrow.
Once they're like 13, 14.
I know, and they're saying it's younger and younger and younger.
And they put the earbuds in, they listen to the music, and you can't hear the lyrics, and you know. But it's important at home that there's a strong, faithful marriage because that's what makes a healthy child and a healthy civilization.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And your chances of getting your messages across are a lot better. Yeah.
And I think older couples have something to offer the world in the way of wisdom in that I don't think you would speak to any couple that's married 50, 60, 70 years who wouldn't, if they were honest, say they had a rough spot.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And getting through the rough spot and coming out on the other end is what brings the fruit of old age and long years. Right?
Exactly. And wisdom, right? Because they've lived through it. Okay, beautiful. We have a caller on line one. So we are going to pick up that call.
Hello? Oh, there you go.
Frank?
Yes, how you doing?
How are you? Frank?
First of all, I'm 4 months late. I never knew you took calls a week or two ago. I tried calling. It was too late. It was like 10 or 4. It was not 10 or 4, 10 or 5. I mean, that's too late. Anyway, good luck on your new programs. I'm too late, but
thanks,
I wish you the best of luck. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Can I tell you my favorite shows of all time?
Yeah.
Just to let you know, I'm 61. I graduated high school in 83. Excuse me, sorry. In no particular order, my four favorite shows are Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, I love it.
The Waltons.
Yeah.
The Wonderful World of Disney. They came on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. It was a good movie back then. And the last one, Highway to Heaven.
There you go.
Those are great shows.
Those are great shows. Much better than the ones we were discussing.
Yeah, they taught morality.
Yeah.
I never really saw those shows. I used to work like 3 to 11. I heard about them, but the days I was working, I mean, they were on when I was working. I saw them in reruns, but I didn't really care for them, though.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you're blessed.
Exactly, because you have wisdom.
You have wisdom.
You are a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where they live, but in Philadelphia, at least, the Waltons come on 12 noon every day.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, 12 noon on MeTV, yes. MeTV.
Oh, right. I love MeTV, yeah.
John Boy?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, John Boy. And Jim Bob and Ben and
Oh,
Mary
Jim
Ellen
Bob. Oh, yeah. Mary Ellen? They all say goodnight at the end of the night.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that.
Yeah.
Right.
Who was the ladies who made Moonshine? The two sisters. I forget their names.
Oh, my gosh. You're quizzing me.
I don't know.
I should know. I'm a tiny bit older than you. Don't tell.
They made, I guess, whiskey or wine, but I'm not sure it was. I forget their names. I can't think of them right now.
Were they in the Walton family?
No, they lived in the same town, the Waltons.
Oh.
And then they're like, I forget.
I was more like Brady Bunch and Leave It to Beaver and Dennis the Menace.
Right.
Oh, I used to watch this show, too. I mean, I used to watch Adam 12 Emergency, that kind of thing, Starsky and Hutch.
Yep.
Right.
But I still like, I thought the Waltons, Little House on the Prairie.
I love Little House on the Prairie.
They just meant more to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did because they were heartwarming.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they were family, and they brought you a feeling of, you know, oh, I want to be in that family.
Yeah.
Even when they were in trouble.
And they were exciting, you know, like Starsky and Hutch. It's exciting, but when the show was over, the show was over. When those shows were over, you thought about something.
Yeah.
Right. You had a moral lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, you were on nicer school or something.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's awesome.
But listen, I listen to you, but I don't want to say I'm lost for words. I'm never lost for words. I call Ken all the time, St. Kathleen all the time.
Yeah. We always hear you when you call into Kathleen's show and Ken's show. It's awesome.
Thank you. We feel privileged. I know. We feel like we know you. To us.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know we're listeners on a regular basis. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's good stuff.
They're all good shows.
Yeah, they are.
I'm pretty much Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on the station.
Okay.
All three of you.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And Doctor comes on after you.
Yes, he's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Are you from Philadelphia originally, or outside Philadelphia?
We are.
Yep, just outside. We grew up in Marion, Pennsylvania, but that's just outside of Overbrook. Our Lady of Lourdes in Overbrook, which is considered Philadelphia, was our parish.
Right, West Philly.
Mm-hmm.
West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm from St. Tim's Parish, Northeast Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah.
When you say Marion, is that the same as Lower Marion? Or
yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
It's a town in Lower Marion.
Yep.
It's just Marion, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I heard of it. I don't think I was ever there. I never went far.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling. We always appreciate hearing from you.
Thanks, Brian.
Well,
we love you.
A big program every week. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's awesome. We actually have
Kathleen's
another call.
Listening. You got two great ladies, St. Kathleen.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're the best.
I'm going.
Okay, thanks. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And now it's line two. Is this John? Hello?
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 And
this is not John.
It's Zach.
Hi, Zach.
How are you?
Hi, Tara. Hi, Marta.
Hi, Tara. Hi, Marta.
Hello, Mary. We have Zach and Mary.
Yes, it's a special day.
Yeah. Well, it looks like someone special beat us because it was Miss Emily and Miss Mamie Baldwin, the Baldwin sisters.
Oh, the Baldwin sisters.
Okay.
And don't forget the bit of a nudge that was the wife of the general store owner, and the nudge's name was Corbett.
Corbett. That is
Corbett. She was a nudge.
Yeah, yeah. What a memory you have, huh?
That is amazing.
Yeah, right. Wait, I want to know.
Good night, John Boy.
Night, Mary Ellen.
Good night, Grandpa.
Night, Jim Bob.
Yeah.
Good night, Mary Ellen.
What did you want to know, Mary?
I want to know why she was considered a nudge.
Have you ever watched the show?
No.
Oh, she was always. She was the one that was always sort of, I'll say, opposite of whatever he was going to do or whatever the town was doing, you know. So if they were going to throw a parade for July 4th, she'd say, what are we going to do with the trash? We have to have people on the trash. And he'd say, oh, Cora Beth, everybody, it's July 4th.
Were they married?
We have to think about the trash.
Yeah, exactly.
That's communication.
Yeah, that's
you need one of those in your life.
That's
we could give them a good session on DISC, right? Personality styles. She was worrying about, he had the big picture and she wanted the small details.
Right.
So what were your favorite television shows? Because we heard Frank's four. What were yours?
So I was a Brady Bunch kid.
Yeah.
And I loved Little House on the Prairie. And I loved...
We had the Partridge Family, right,
Oh,
Mary?
Yeah, the Partridge Family.
So, Mara, those are reruns for you. You're a puppy.
I know.
Yeah.
You're alive for us.
I know. She's talking about the Golden Bachelor. I'm like, wait, a lot of those people were in the mid-60s.
Golden Bachelor. Easy, Tara. Easy.
Well, we're talking about how society is breaking down marriages through the television and the programming.
And the programming. Desperate Housewives, The Bachelorette,
and how all those things
are so normalized.
Yeah.
And now they have something called the Golden Bachelor. It's older people who are trying to reconnect. Right. And
she keeps saying older people.
Sorry. Well, it is
Marta
the golden.
Marie, wash your mouth out.
You know, people in their golden years. Uh-huh. I did love the Golden Girls, though, but that show's probably not even that great.
No, they still play that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okie. What was Okie on Okie?
All right, so you want my favorite television shows, I'll say, before I was 13. Ready?
Yep. Okay.
Bewitched.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah.
Combat and Batman.
There you go. Oh, I loved Wonder Woman. I did love Wonder Woman.
Wow.
He's a spin around in the front hall.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman!
Yeah. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
There's a whole other story we could tell you about Linda Carter, but not appropriate for this conversation.
Right. Another day.
Well, I think you're right about the messaging that these young adults, as well as, you know, younger generation are getting. It is bad. I mean, back in the Brady Bunch day, it was a big thing when Carol Brady shared a bed with Mike.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they got into bed together at the same time.
Right.
People
yeah.
were like, ah.
Well, just 10 years
now,
before.
You know, right. they're naked and they're showing you all sorts of things you should not be
That
watching.
Should not be on TV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And the language is crazy.
And the heartache and the ruthlessness with how they just, at least Bachelor, they just kind of dump people off and they have no consideration
right.
for their
right. feelings, emotions.
Feelings, their dignity as human beings, as women, as men, right?
Yeah.
And it's like one person just weeding through right. 10, 15, 20 people.
Well, and yeah. that Bachelor or Bachelorette show, they film all night. So those people that come in are literally there from like not whatever it is, 8 or 9 p.m. till morning. And if you don't really watch your intake, that's how you end up like that, you know, these women that are schnookered or men.
Yeah.
The television screen because they've had nothing to eat. They've been fed alcohol. I mean,
yeah.
that in and of itself is a disgrace.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
hold on. Let's yeah. lighten the mood. What was Alice's boyfriend's name?
Sam. Sam the Butcher.
Sam the Butcher.
Sam the Butcher. He always brought Alice a pork chop.
That's
you know
right.
I mean.
Exactly.
I'm thinking of the pork chop,
Alice. Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
so fun. Well, you're not going to believe this, but we actually have another caller on the line, so we appreciate yeah. your
well,
call.
We love you guys.
All right.
We love,
love you.
You.
Thanks for calling in.
Great job. Great show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
So, you know, all those shows are rooted in illusion, right?
Yeah.
And escapism.
Hello, Trisha.
Hi. How are you?
Very
Hi, Trisha.
Good. It's so fun to hear your voice. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear your voice, too. How are you girls doing? Okay?
We're
yeah,
so good.
Yeah, very well.
Mm-hmm. By God's grace and mercy. So first, I just want to witness to, on I think it was Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday when Kathleen was on, I, of course, share with everybody. And a couple hours later, I always, you know, I'm still leading three prayer groups during the day at 6:45, noon, and 3 o'clock. And so when I talked to my sister later on that day, she said to me, oh, that reflection was so good. I said, oh, you mean Gail's? And she goes, no. And I go, and then she couldn't think. And I go, who? I go, you were only on the three. You mean Gail's? She goes, no. She goes, that lady that you follow. And I go, Kathleen and Clarby? She goes, yeah, I watched all 2 hours.
Yeah, it was great.
You guys, I could not tell you how happy I was. I could not tell you how happy I was. I just... And my sister's I'm going to go with her, too. She's going to Medjugorje for the first time.
Oh, wow.
My friend Kim asked her, and she's kind of hard to move sometimes.
Yeah.
So the fact that Kim asked her first, I know was providential because Marianne called me up so excited. She goes, we got invited to Medjugorje. And she said yes right away.
Wow.
So I'm really happy about that. And then her listening to Kathleen for 2 hours made me so happy.
Yep.
Praise
so,
the Lord.
Yep. Uh-huh.
That's the Holy Spirit moving powerfully,
there
right?
You go. Yeah, exactly. And then I was just listening to SiriusXM 131 Family Talk, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute, today's Thursday. The girls are on, so I came on too. And but I'm here to give you some good news. There's no way that I can watch any TV, but what I do to is YouTube, and I just type in black and white movies, and there's one good black and white movie that the Holy Spirit has given me. The one that comes to mind right now was called The Catered Affair, and I just get such a kick out of seeing all the Sacred Hearts above the beds. I see rosaries on the door. They talk about God. They talk about Father Flannery, that we better get going. He doesn't like when we're late.
Yes.
So those movies make me happy, and they make me feel refreshed, and they make me feel fulfilled. And, yeah, so I can't even do Lifetime movies and or Hallmark movies. I go to the black and white movies, and there's tons and tons of them. So,
yeah.
But I miss my girls, and
so true.
You're doing a great job, and I pray for you. If I'm nervous talking to you just for 3 minutes, I can't imagine what you guys go through having to do an hour.
It actually goes really quickly now.
In the beginning, it was
in the beginning,
hard.
It was tough, but now it really flies. Yeah.
Now we're a little more. When are you going to Medjugorje?
June 14th.
How amazing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So I'm really happy.
And how long are you staying?
We're going to do 2 weeks. We're going to do a week with Kim, and then we're going to go into Dubrovnik, I figure, since we're all the way over there.
How amazing.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. It's her first time, my second time, but, you know, it's a calling, so I'm really happy.
That's what's so amazing. It's a calling. Yep.
Awesome.
You know what they always... you know what they say, you may have a smile on your face and you may sound happy, but I could use your prayer, okay, girls?
Yes.
Absolutely.
You have it.
You have
it. Thank you. God bless you guys. I'm praying for you.
God bless. We love you.
Bye. Love you. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. So the whole thing is going back to, that is fun.
Yeah.
I love hearing from everybody.
Yeah.
We have more calls today than we've had in the whole short season we've ever been on the air.
Exactly. That was very lovely.
We got the computer to work today.
I know. What?
Except I
don't know. We said it was a golden day in the very beginning.
We did. I still can't figure out how to see.
The chat.
Yeah, if people have chatted, but it's a little locked up. If you're chatting with us, we thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, click the picture.
I think so.
Oh, no. Anyway, it's not that golden.
Yeah.
You're not going there.
We'll figure out the computer before.
So it's all those new shows are like rooted in an illusion of a thrill, a thrill that you're not getting out of, you know, the 20% of life that people today think that life has to be this crazy
and it's just
ride.
Like, and it's not witnessing to the right spirit, right? It's not witnessing to the right thing. It's actually witnessing to everything that's contrary to the spirit.
And it creates anxiety.
Yeah. And like Trish said, she'll turn on a black and white movie and she sees everything that brings her peace. It brings her joy. All the fruits of the spirit are in the old black and white shows.
Even in Little House on the Prairie, you just get drawn into mom and dad and Laura and...
Yeah.
Mary is the sister's name and she's blind. And
yes.
You know, you're just brought into love and helping people and, you know, instead of into that, the rest of the world's doing that 20%, right?
Yes. And it's instant gratification, pleasure. And when I decide I'm finished with you, bye-bye, I'm moving on to the next. And
so it's all grounded in escapism.
It's
all the shows, Friends, everything you're talking about is grounded, right? It's shielded from...
The realities
of what happens,
and truth
right?
and love and, like we said, covenant and all the things that God created man to be. He created us in his likeness and his image. We're essentially, the Holy Spirit lives within us and we are to be one with God.
Right.
And you cannot be one with God if you're living contrary to the Spirit. And
you know, all those old shows, I think people love them because they bring the joy of the mundane.
Yeah.
Like, that is 80% of life. So to find joy and happiness in the little moments, in staying committed to family, in having family prayer time, in, you know, being filled with the Spirit.
Having your homes consecrated to the Sacred Heart. I mean, Trish even mentioned it. She said she loves seeing the three hearts on the wall as the background, the backdrop, right?
Yeah.
And then they were talking about she was talking about the priest. We have to go see, Father so-and-so doesn't like it when we're late.
Right.
That's beautiful.
And everything was a little slower and a little easier, right?
And your life
now everything,
was
the kids have to be like, excitement.
Yes.
The screen has to change every 30 seconds. Something has to be flashing light. And I mean, you and I both had concussions. So
yeah.
We know. Too much screen and flashing light, you know, really does have an effect on your nervous system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know?
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyway, we're back to...
What did we do with all this, right?
What do we do with it?
So we have to...
Self-inflicted.
Yeah, guard your heart and guard your mind.
Ruin.
Yep. Yep. From self-inflicted, exactly, spiritual ruin. You want to guard your heart, guard your mind, be protective of your family, raise them in the way that you want them to go, and you're going to be their first teachers, their first role models, right? And when things go wrong, and I think in almost every family somewhere along the line they do, rely on God, right?
Teach them how to repair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, teach them how to live in good times
Yeah.
and in bad times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not every marriage can be saved. So we're not saying that you should live in something that is harmful or...
Sure,
you know, if it goes beyond that, you know, it's abusive, things like that.
Yeah.
But usually it's just the 80-20, you know, they want to get in that bubble.
Yeah.
People think that the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah. And be careful to guide your eyes, guide your heart, guard them.
Right.
And honor your family, honor your spouse, honor God, and honor things that are lasting and of the spirit, right? Things that are joy, things that are beautiful, things that are right.
Right.
They say.
Right.
Think on the things of the spirit.
Because honor is active.
Mm-hmm.
If you're honoring something, it's not something you just do once.
Exactly.
Right.
It's a commitment.
You go to Mass every week, every day, holy hour. You're honoring God. You're honoring a relationship when you keep showing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like the mailman. Yeah. Rain, snow.
Exactly.
Sleet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Just show up. And yeah, bring the what's needed to keep the family together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a spiritual investment.
It's important. Turn off those shows.
Exactly.
Turn
Spend
the
some
TV
family
off.
Time. Light a fire. Go outside and sit around the fire pit and have solid family.
S'mores and
solid
learn
family
to play
time.
The guitar. And
yeah. And they say stay surrounded in community. Don't isolate yourself. Things like that.
Right.
So
and get together with other married couples.
Right.
Other Catholic married couples.
That are
like a marriage encounter. Or,
mm-hmm.
You know, our sister Jennifer does all the programs for...
yep.
Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it helps. They teach you a lot of techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How to deal with loneliness or,
right,
you know, if you're feeling betrayed or what God has joined together, let no man separate.
Right.
And we're going to guard what God has given us. Love fiercely. Stay faithful. Right.
And then we talked about pray for your spouse in the last couple minutes and not like, we talked about don't pray. I wish you would change. I wish would change. Oh, they have to just, you know, get the socks off the floor, like whatever it is.
When you pray for your spouse, just pray that they have to do all the changing, right?
Right.
And pray with the laundry list of what's wrong with them.
Right. Pray for honor. Pray that you know their needs. Pray that they would be a holy person close to God. Pray that they can support and sustain your family. Pray that they don't have too much anxiety. Well, both people bring in the bread and butter now, but that there's not too much anxiety over that.
Mm-hmm.
The
and
age
that you
old
can
date
be
night.
A faithful spouse yourself and you can fulfill their needs the way they need you to fill, you know,
likewise.
And have
God
it can
talk.
Be mutual. Exactly.
And have God talk.
Mm-hmm. And keep God in the center of the relationship.
Right.
Which can be really challenging because if one spouse is super God-centered and the other is not, that's a huge challenge to navigate through.
It is.
Yeah.
Eventually,
I think they'll see. If they see your joy, they see your peace, they'll see something in you that they want for themselves. And they'll say, how is this person so joyful or peaceful? Or, you know, I want what they have.
Right. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You can't force that on.
No, not at all.
The,
it makes it worse.
Person.
You would actually make it worse, right?
Right.
Yeah. But we're happy that God is a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of redemption.
Right.
And if we've committed adultery in our mind, in our heart, physically, any which way that this commandment could take us, there's always confession.
Right.
And there's always marriage encounters, and there's always...
new attitude, new perspective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Today's gospel, we didn't get to it, but it was about the blind man, Bartimaeus, right?
Yeah.
And they say that he had a repentance that culminated in faith. He shifted his consciousness from ego dominance to surrender.
Which
and that's kind of what has to happen
in
healing. You have to let the light in.
Yep.
You have to be rigorously honest, because if you can't name the situation and the problem, then... that's the first step in getting anywhere. So you have to see the problem, be able to name the problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring it into the light and give
and
it to
the
Lord.
And then the Lord restores the vision of the spiritual seeker.
Yeah.
Throwing off the old mind, right?
Yeah.
With a new adoption through God's grace of a divine mind.
Mm-hmm.
So radical self-surrender, God consciousness, and?
Love.
Love is what saves.
Yep. The
love
real
for
definition
your spouse,
of love,
love for
not
your
the
kids.
Societal definition of love. But
right.
Yeah. So that was our show for you today.
Dr. Anton is next.
Yeah, Dr. Stay Anton tuned. Is next. And thank you for tuning in.
We'll be back next week.
Join us again next week as we explore scripture reflections, personal stories, and practical encouragement, leading us to say, "Yes, here I am, Lord."